BlogTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3. It's me, DDP.
Listen up, Slapnuts. This is Jeff Jarrett.
This is Pat Patterson.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rant, and you're listening to the greatest rant.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
Bada boom! Realest guys in the world.
How you know?
I love kickball.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
You can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
I'm trying to have a peaceful talk show, right? I'm not trying to have one of these talk shows at all that end in brawls and fights and everything like that.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here. I knew you'd come.
The world is a vampire. Sent to drain. Secret destroyer.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Go to YouTube, Jesus Christ. I'm drunk this week. That's Skype. Instagram.com/MBG1211. Follow the journey today. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
This is why it's all in black and gold at the top of the sheet.
I'm not looking at the sheet right now.
Well, it's up there for a reason, to make sure you do the plug correctly.
I get it right 90% of the time.
90?
80?
80?
80.
80, okay. We're going with 80. 80.
We're going with 80. We're going with 80.
Okay.
I generally get it right most of the time, y'all. Matt, put it back. Just for the love of God, put it back. Anyway,
for to do it correctly, Wrestling Figure Photography, follow the journey at Instagram.com/MBG1211.
You're such a dick.
I'm just making sure everyone heard it correctly.
I corrected.
You can follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lids Ward, or you can interact with us live at Gerwick.net, WildTalkRadio.com, and RackRadioShow.com. We're also available on TuneIn Radio. If you're on the go or have no interwebs, you can still listen. Just search Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you put out all the bloop bloops?
Yeah.
You sure they all went out?
Yeah.
Because I don't see the Tumblr one. There it is.
The Tumblr, I saw the Tumblr one go out because it got liked. So.
I'm trying to advertise our show, people. So tell your friends we're on the air right now because, you know, professionalism. Professionalism. Anyway, we have a ton of stuff to get into. Stories have broken that are absolutely huge in the last few hours, so we're not going to waste any more time on that, or on the shenanigans, I should say. We have news, we have NXT, we have whatever the last pay-per-view was.
We have No Mercy, we have NXT, we have the SmackDown Throwdown, and now we have the news presented by Gerwick.net and TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans.
I'm batting 1,000 tonight. I am.
This just rolls off the top of my head, so you know, I'm good.
You just go on autopilot.
I do. I just know it all.
Which one of us is the host, guys? Which one of us is the host?
I'm just the producer. That's all.
Slash co-host slash handyman. Use your full title.
But if it's a throwback Thursday, I'm just the producer. Anyway.
Who doesn't do anything.
Who doesn't do very much, yeah.
You need to play that commercial again.
I gotta remember which one it was.
But yeah, so anyway, enough tomfoolery. We are jumping right into the news, and we are talking about the biggest story of the week, possibly of the month, and that is brought to you by our friends over at TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans, although, and they very well may need a haven after this. It seems Billy Corgan has had enough of Dixie Carter's shenanigans. Came out today that he has filed in Nashville Chancery Court a lawsuit against TNA Wrestling, their parent company, Dixie Carter, her husband, Serge Salinas, and Dean Broadhead, the CFO of TNA. All the court documents have been sealed. In addition to the lawsuit, he has filed an injunction, a temporary restraining order, and a bond against the company.
So I'm going to let you explain to the people at home, because you did some investigative journalism today, on exactly what the bond is.
So I'm going to try to explain this, and I'm probably going to screw it up, but through the power of Google, thank you, Google, and a call to my father, I know what this bond is. So it's not like the normal, hey, you go to the bail bondsman and you bail somebody out of jail kind of bond. It's not that. What this basically is this secures Billy in the lawsuit where basically Dixie and everybody else that he's suing can't countersue him for damages because of the restraining order.
Mm-hmm.
It protects him in terms of the restraining order. It also gives him a better position, potentially first position, depending on how it's worded. We don't know exactly how it's worded because, again, the court documents are sealed. But it could give him potential first position if TNA were to go out of business so he can get his money back out of TNA. So that's what that is it's basically just a protection for him in this lawsuit because rather than have it being decided by a judge, it's going to a jury where they're supposed to select six jurors to hear this case and decide if Dixie and company are in the wrong or if Billy's in the right or whatever.
I should say it may go to a jury. He's requested a jury. Doesn't mean he'll be granted that.
Yeah, he's requested it. Doesn't mean it's going to get granted. Doesn't even mean it's going to get that far. It could be that the defendants decide to settle this out of court with Billy. The reasons for him doing this are completely unknown, but you don't really have to look too hard to figure out what it probably is. Rumors have been absolutely flying that Dixie has sold to WWE. There's no confirmation on that whatsoever. That is a rumor. There's another rumor that WWE is out, that Sinclair is out. Matt Hardy even joked that he was buying the company at one point. So there's a lot of speculation going on around the sale of the company, and I have a funny feeling that the injunction is to stop her from selling either the tape library, selling her shares in the company, or both, to somebody specifically, or really anybody, depending on how broad he went with it.
And that's really the crux of this whole thing. Dixie Carter was about to make some sort of power move.
And he stopped her.
He stopped it.
Yeah. And I think he's also tired of playing. I mean, I would wager there was a tentative deal in place at Bound for Glory, Slammiversary.
Bound for Glory. Bound for Glory is October. June is Slammiversary.
I keep wanting Slammiversary to be in October.
Because when they say it's the WrestleMania, so you think of anniversary, so that's how you go.
Yeah. I get it confused. Even though Bound for Glory was... Well, no, it wasn't their first pay-per-view, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. So there's speculation that there was a tentative deal in place around Bound for Glory, Billy Corgan to buy the company, or buy Dixie Carter out, or buy more of the company to get majority holding. That did not happen. There is still no confirmation on who paid for the last set of tapings.
No one knows.
Wasn't Billy Corgan, as far as he's said. And that could be part of it, is he agreed to pay for the tapings, provided Dixie sell to him. He paid for the tapings, Dixie got her content, and she may have tried to go back on her word. From everything we were hearing, when Billy Corgan was giving interviews, the speculation was Dixie was trying to sell the library out from underneath him. That could be playing a factor as well. Again, no confirmation on any of this beyond Billy Corgan has filed a lawsuit.
Yeah.
And it's serious. It's really, really very serious.
Oh yeah, it's extremely serious at this point. That's not the only lawsuit they're facing. At the end of September, AO1 Productions also filed a lawsuit against the company for $223,000. They were the ones who were handling TNA production for Bound for Glory in 2015 and never got paid. Workers for the company the independent contractors, production staff that worked for them eventually got paid, but the company itself never got their money, and they are filing suit against Aralux and TNA CFO for repeated lies of payment. So we found out that you took to run a TNA pay-per-view, it's $223,000.
So that's something.
That's something. We gained information there.
Yeah, and that lawsuit is an interesting one in and of itself. We're not going to get into that. There's liens. There's shenanigans. There's lies. There's all kinds of stuff going on in that one, which leads to a lot of questions that we don't know the answers to. Mainly, who owns what in TNA.
Yeah, but the reason I brought that up is it's a clear example of the financial issues TNA has. For all the, you know, everyone on the internet, there's a big tire group of TNA defenders who will always think there's nothing wrong with TNA. The lawsuit clearly shows everything that's been reported is factually accurate. Everything from the TV contracts ending to the financial issues to the back pay, it's all detailed in the lawsuit. So yeah. There's no hiding the story.
And we're fans of TNA. We like TNA. We really, really, really do. We had Gail Kim on the show 2 weeks ago. We've had other past TNA wrestlers. We want TNA to succeed. This is not us saying, oh, you know, TNA is going to go out of business. Yay! No, that's not what we're saying. We don't want to see that happen. But this is a really dire situation where it's something of you can't deny it if the proof is right there in your face. And they have been plagued with these rumors and problems for at least, what, a year to 2 years now?
If not longer.
If not longer, where there have been pay issues, where they've been short money, where there's issues with production, there's issues with this, there's problems here, they're getting evicted from their space in Nashville. I mean, at some point, you have to come out of the denial and you have to see what's really going on with this company. That is that they are in serious, serious trouble.
Oh, yeah, they're in very serious trouble.
Because here's the thing, Billy Corgan is now putting a stop to all of it. He's filed the lawsuit. It will be interesting to see how his lawsuit versus the production lawsuit play off each other. Would not be surprised if Corgan hasn't made some phone calls to people, but this could very well bankrupt TNA.
It could.
Easily.
It could.
Just from legal fees alone.
Legal fees alone have killed many of a company. They've refused to go to court sometimes because of it. This could be a major downfall of TNA. We don't want to see it happen. We want what the wrestlers want. The wrestlers want Billy Corgan in charge of this company. We want to see it happen. Someone needs to take control of TNA Wrestling or Impact Ventures, whatever the company is called.
Well, we said this, you know, when the rumors came out around Bound for Glory of what was going on with the financial issues, is it's Billy Corgan has the money. He's willing to put the money into it. Let Billy Corgan buy the company. Let him revitalize it. Let him put it back to where it should be. Because they've had a very hard fall the last 5 years.
There was a company that was interested in buying the company that has since backed out that wanted to expand the company and take it back out on the road, which would have been great for the company. Make money with the company.
They didn't want to do it. She wouldn't sell.
And here's the thing. Okay. Now, let's play this out, okay? Say the scenario happens, TNA pays Billy Corgan off, and he separates himself with the company, okay?
Okay.
TNA is then back in full control of Dixie Carter and Aralux. What is their plan? How do they see growth in this company? Dixie's been in charge of this company for over a decade now, and over the last 5 years, they've cut back on everything, to the point where they can barely afford television. How does she believe she can sustain the company going forward without bringing in revenue?
Well, she's got a plan, darling. She's going to turn it right around. You'll see, we'll pull out of these difficult, hard times, and we'll come back stronger and better than ever. That's her plan.
Cash infusions does not help the company.
I mean, realistically, they should have gone out of business probably
2 years ago. Two years ago.
And somehow she's, like, begged, borrowed, and steal the company, like, at one point with the production lawsuit, she had bartered and put a lien against pretty much the entire company. And that's how Aralux came in, was Aralux held the lien against TNA, where she mortgaged pretty much everything TNA had, down to the equipment in the office.
Yeah, and that's why they lost the office, because she could no longer afford to pay it.
I mean, that's how serious this is. We talked about it, where they got evicted. They cannot pay their rent, so they got kicked out of their space. That's not good. And we said it then that this is not a good thing.
We continue to say it's not a good thing.
It's like you want to see them succeed, but at what point do you have to say enough is enough with this crap? And enough is enough.
Oh, very much so.
And I don't mean to bash them, but it's like, I am so tired of talking about this. I'm so tired of TNA's woes and troubles and problems and it always coming up and people getting screwed over, because that's what's happening. Is Dixie Carter's going to pull out of this, she'll be fine. Billy Corgan's going to pull out of this, he'll be fine. You know, all the higher-ups are going to pull out of this, they'll be fine. You know who gets screwed in this? The talent and the office staff. That's who gets screwed in this, because these are people that they're everyday schmoes. They come in, they do their 9-to-5, or they show up at the tapings, they do their matches, and they leave. And for a lot of these people, this is their only job. That's it. Although, given how TNA pays, they probably have part-time jobs or a second job, because they don't pay that well. Trust me, try to get hired on there. They don't pay that well.
This is why, for example, Josh Matthews, who left his WWE job, went to TNA, he tried getting into radio because, you know, he needed more a secondary income because of what's going on with TNA.
Yeah, I mean, and they're behind on their pay schedule. And something of, if you're a 9-to-5 person and you're relying on that paycheck to be there every 2 weeks, and guess what? Hey, it's not there. That's a problem. Or if you're a wrestler and it's, well, you get paid this portion of the month for this, and you're waiting on your paycheck and it's late, that's a problem, because now it's, well, your rent payment could be late, your utility payment could be late, your kid needs braces, you know, any number of things, you need the money and it's not there. And that's who's getting hurt in this, are the wrestlers and the office staff. And it's like, Dixie is in an epic level of denial. I've never seen this level of denial before. There's rumors going around that she was walking around like nothing was wrong, everything was fine at the taping, she was playing stupid, she didn't want to address the wrestlers, she didn't really talk about anything when she did. She was stunned when she found out that the wrestlers were upset about the financial troubles and all the rumors and everything like that. It's like, I've never seen somebody so clueless. Ever.
No.
I mean, you're bankrupt. You're bankrupt. Everything points to the fact that you're bankrupt, and you can't even afford to put your television show on, and you're walking around like nothing's wrong. I've never seen that.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
And as much as she says, oh, well, you know, I care about the talent, I care about, you know, this, I care about that. If you cared about them, you would not be doing this to them. You would not be screwing them out of money, because that's what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You're screwing them out of money. What are these people going to do if this company shuts down and Corgan doesn't buy it? It just closes. He bankrupts them to the point that he puts them out of business. He takes his money, he takes his chunk, he leaves. Aerolux takes their chunk, they leave. WWE will come in and probably try to pick the bones, or they'll buy the tape library off of somebody who gets it. And that's it. What are the people supposed to do when they don't have a job anymore?
It's a very good question.
It's like, that's what's going on in this. It's like, it's awful. And it's really sad that it has come to this point that Billy Corgan has now filed a lawsuit against TNA and several other people. It's like, you had your opportunity to sell it to him. It's like, you have somebody in Billy Corgan who really wants to do something with the company. He sees the potential of it.
And he's just not given the chance to do it.
And it's like, he's greenlighted the most successful thing TNA has probably done in 5 years, and that is the final deletion. That was Corgan.
Yeah, he got it.
Like it or not.
He got it on air.
He got it on the air, and it's the most successful thing TNA has probably ever done.
To the point they're doing a 2-hour episode for the last episode of the year.
Yeah, the Hardy movie. It's going to be the last episode of the year. So it's like, you have somebody who sees the potential, who wants to grow the brand, who wants to make it back into something. And it's like, I don't know if it's ego, I don't know if it's stupidity, I don't know what it is. I don't know. And granted, I don't have all the facts. I don't. But I can sit here and I can look at a lawsuit, and I can look at two lawsuits.
And it's pretty telling.
When you mortgage your cameras to pay for your TV, that's bad. That's really bad.
Yeah, it is.
Putting that out. I mean, when you're begging and you're scraping and you're borrowing to get money for your TV and your pay-per-view, and you get it at the last minute twice, that's bad. Because you do not have the money to run this company. Why are you going on with this? Why are you insisting on holding on to it when you have someone that can save it? Potentially save it. So, like, I shouldn't guarantee that Corgan's going to save it, but he could potentially save it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's the thing I don't get. I don't get it. If somebody from TNA would love to explain it to me, I would love to talk to you about it.
You know how to get a hold of us.
You want to come on this show and you want to explain to us what the hell's going on, we would love to talk to you about it, because I would love to know what's actually going on. I will drive to Nashville if I have to. It's 3 hours away. But this is ridiculous. This is beyond ridiculous at this point. I mean, I hope they work it out. I hope they settle it. I hope it doesn't go to the point where they go to court. And I hope they don't have to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not going to end pretty. Once you start getting lawyers and courts and all that involved, it doesn't end well.
No, the end of TNA is going to take place in the courtroom.
Yep.
And that's where we're at this point.
That's where we're at this point. It's, I mean, Billy Corgan, don't screw with Billy Corgan, ever. Because, I mean, I can see his side of it. You know, he came in, he's been there for over a year at this point. He's been a conscientious objector. He's kind of watched everything. He sees how they do business. Then he came in with money, and he's been steadily buying into the company, and now he wants to buy it. And he feels like he's been led on, and he's been led on, and he's been led on, because he has. And he's not the only one that's been led on.
Mm-hmm.
There have been several other buyers that have been interested that they've sort of led them on and dicked around with them and made all these promises and everything like that, and they didn't come through.
Toby Keith. Prime example. He wanted to come in, buy the company, buy Dixie out completely, and the Carter said no, because Dixie needed a job.
Mom and Daddy, you need to get her resume ready.
That's for sure.
But yeah, I mean, we'll keep you posted on this because this is far from over. Hopefully they settle this out of court. Hopefully it settles peacefully. Hopefully TNA stays in business, please God, and let Billy Corgan get it. If not, I don't know what's going to happen. I couldn't begin to tell you what happens.
So since she has no transition... As we've been talking about TNA, the Chargers picked up another field goal, are up 16-3 over the Broncos.
It's third quarter with 6:07 left in that quarter to play. So, speaking of big stories, oh boy.
Where do you want to start?
Oh, let's just go for it. The other depressing, heavy story, we're just going to get these out of the way, is that for the second time in 4 months, something like that?
Since the week of SummerSlam.
Since the week of SummerSlam, Paige is suspended. This time she's gotten a 60-day suspension for a banned substance. This is getting... The plot has thickened on this whole Paige situation. Basically, what's happened is she came out and she said that, you know, same shit, different day. She gave the doctor's note excuse, and then her family came out and said she's not getting good care and that, you know, she got popped for a prescription drug, which led WWE, who never comments on drug suspensions, to come out and say it was not a prescription drug. It was an illegal substance. They pissed somebody off if they came out and made that comment. Because basically she was saying that the medical staff wasn't treating her right and she wasn't getting good care. And that just, like, I think pissed them off. Especially after the whole Punk thing. They were just like, no, we are not having that. And so they came out and made a statement, said she got suspended for a illegal substance. She's really offered no rebuttal, but her family is basically wanting her to come home. And they're also the ones that are leading the accusations against the medical staff. They're saying that she needs neck surgery. The medical staff is saying that she doesn't, but WWE has green-lighted the surgery anyway, because they're not going to deny her the care. I think that's all of it. Aside from the TMZ video, we're going to talk about the TMZ video. So, in case you missed it, they were on TMZ, her and Del Rio.
Yes, they were. Yeah, they're, the TMZ video is just a whole mess of things there. But, going on Paige... She came... Did you mention her statement that she made?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go back in time, shall we? This is her second failure. What was her first one for? Oh yeah, missing a test. This one.
Sing.
This one is she failed because she took a prescription drug that WWE was not approved of. They came back and said it was a banned substance. So far, she's putting out statements to make herself look like a victim. And going off the TMZ video, she just sort of, you can tell she wants out. You can tell she wants to be done with WWE. She wants to go wrestle somewhere else, wherever Del Rio may land, which may be TNA if they can pay him, according to him in the video.
Good luck with that.
She's under contract till 2019. There's the whole Rey Mysterio clause they could hold her to, where if she misses a significant amount of time, which is if she's out for 6 to 7 months, and then you add on about 3 more so far since June, we're about almost up to a year.
Pretty close.
Yeah, that's... It's interesting.
It's interesting. She wants to be... She definitely is done. She definitely wants to move on. She wants to be with Alberto. Part of it, I think she's insisting on the surgery so she can be with him and not have to be on the road. Part of it is I think she is in pain and she wants relief. And God knows I wish her every good fortune in terms of getting better, because I don't want anybody to be in pain or suffering, especially somebody that young to be in pain and suffering. But yeah. it's just there's another wrinkle to this whole story. There's a lot of thoughts that, well, Paige has found the loophole because they're not going to let her go. They're not going to let her quit they're not going to fire her for insubordination. But if she fails one more time for a drug test, they have to fire her per the policy. Mm-hmm. Unless they change it. Unless they figure out that she's intentionally failing to get fired. Because supposedly, after the whole debacle after SummerSlam, they had worked things out, everything was cool, and then all of a sudden she gets a drug suspension for the second time in a really close period.
She just came off suspension about three weeks ago.
Like, she just came back long enough for them to test her again.
Pretty much.
And she got suspended again. So it's, I'm concerned that she's doing it intentionally. I'm sure she's not, but that's just automatically where my mind goes, where it's either she figured it out, or Del Rio figured it out, or her family did, or somebody did, where somebody looked at her and said, hey, they're not going to fire you for insubordination, but they can do it for the drug policy. There's your loophole.
Yeah, there it is.
There it is. You get suspended three times. They'll fire you. Unless they alter the policy for her. Which they could.
They could.
They could tell her on the third... because here's the thing. This is the first time she's failed for a drug-related substance. If she fails a second time for it, for the same substance, they could insist that she go to rehab before they fire her.
They could fire... No, to get at this... Before her failure, they could send her to rehab so she can get rid of one of her failures. That's how that works.
That's how that works.
It's the Orton rule.
I love how they have all these special rules for people.
Well, they didn't want Orton to get fired, so they came up with a rule to... Here's how you get rid of things.
You set a precedent, dude. Well done. But yeah, and I don't think she's anticipating, if that's not her intention, to get fired through the drug policy. I don't think she is anticipating the Mysterio rule. I don't think she believes that they're going to do that to her, and seeing how this whole situation is playing out. Yeah, they're going to do that to her.
Yeah, it's going to be a thing.
They're going to tack this on, like, because I think for an injury, they understand if you're injured and you're not just not getting better or you're not healing right or whatever. You know, that's something completely different than if you're taking longer than you should. And that was the thing with Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio was done, and so he basically nursed injuries, which he was legitimately hurt, and he needed to get better. But he took more time than they felt he needed to take. And also there was a drug suspension in there somewhere.
Yeah.
And so he left, or he tried to leave, and they said, oh, no, 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 you still have a year left on your contract. You didn't work the last year. You still owe us a year. I think her only way out, let me finish the other thought before I move on, because, you know, that would be good. So they could look at her and go, oh, well, you were out 10 months. You were out 9 months. However long she's going to be out. You were out X number of months. That's going right back on your contract. You still owe us that. And they're perfectly within their right to do that. I think her only way out, if she's not intentionally failing, is honestly to retire. And they may even stop her from doing that.
They may.
She could get pregnant.
She could.
But that's not a solution.
But, speaking of which, congratulations go out to one Trish Stratus, former guest of the Rack, who is pregnant with a second child.
Because that's not awkward enough, you know? Let's just, hey, Trish is pregnant! On top of Paige. Yay! But no, seriously. Congratulations to Trish. And Mr. Trish. I don't know what his name is.
Forget what Mr. Trish's name is.
But Mr. Trish.
But again, I could have made the transition. As they got another field goal, it's 19-3.
San Diego's going to win this on field goals.
That's basically how this is going.
Oh shit, are the Falcons on bye this week? They're on bye this week! Bastards! Who said they could do that?
The NFL.
Damn it. Ooh, but Louisville plays on Saturday, so there's that.
There is that. By the way, this is The Rack right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, Wild Talk Radio, and RackRadioShow.com. We're into the news presented by GearWork.net and TNAAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans. What's next?
Well, let's see. We've talked about Paige, we've talked about TNA, we've talked about Trish and her baby.
So, let's do the quick note first before we get into them.
Okay, because Brent was busy again.
WWE has announced Tribute to Troops will be on December 13th in Washington, D.C. at the Verizon Center, presumably before or after SmackDown.
We don't know which.
We don't know which, because SmackDown's live and that's a Tuesday, and yeah.
Tuesday.
Doesn't have the same ring as Thursday.
Taboo Tuesday. We don't talk about Taboo Tuesday.
We don't talk about Taboo Tuesday.
Oh, Jesus.
No one will get that reference but, like, two people.
Yeah, no one will get that reference but two people. But to those two people, Selu. You know exactly what we're talking about.
Anyway, now should we get into the thing?
Play the sounder, let's do it.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
Brent, dude! We told you last week you can lay off. You don't have to play catch up with Rob. I mean, I know Rob is busy and Rob gets like 12 people a week, but seriously, you don't need to play catch up. All right? So, first things first. Michael Elgin has suffered a fractured orbital bone.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Because I can speak.
Heard that one's pretty nasty.
Orbital bones generally are. Is his eye okay?
I believe so, but it's bad.
Because Taker's had his broken twice. You can go blind from that. You can actually lose an eye from that.
Oh, you definitely could. But yeah, that one's a bad one.
Yeah, so feel better, Michael Elgin. I hope you don't lose an eye, because that would suck.
To update that one, Elgin was supposed to be in some sort of event. Jay Lethal will be replacing him on the tour.
Not a bad trade.
Not a bad trade right there.
So, Gail Kim has suffered a back injury during the TNA TV tapings.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Not Gail! No! She won the title! She was living the good life! You know, she was coming off her good luck interview with The Rack. WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, go listen to it.
I mean, here's the good luck charm, right?
Right?
She came on the show, she won a championship. Brie Bella came on the show, pregnant.
Seth Rollins came on the show.
WWE Champion.
WWE Champion! We are the good luck charm. We are the good luck charm.
Just saying.
Just saying. Just you know, send your people our way. We'll hook them up. Austin Aries.
Yeah. So anyway, what's next?
So anyway, because we're naming our
we're name dropping.
We're name dropping because we can.
Because this is the multi-time award winning The Rack right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't see me shining my nails. This is a hit to Team Fluffy. I'm very upset by this, but it happens. Hideo Itami sadly is injured with a neck injury.
Hashtag blame Brent.
No idea.
You bastard.
No idea how long he's going to be out for with the injury. He was forced to be pulled from the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, which we'll get into at the end of the show when we talk about NXT. He's hoping to make the tapings in Osaka, Japan in the beginning of December. The live event in Osaka, Japan. Speaking of tapings in NXT overseas, they will be taping footage in Melbourne, because they're all tied together on the same tour, when they go there. But yeah, that sucks for Hideo. It was on a power slam that he took wrongly at an NXT live event in Florida.
Yeah, so hoping he feels better. It really sucks because he just came back. He was just getting his momentum back. He was doing wonderful, and then bam. So hopefully it's not too serious, and he's back in December or sooner. Crossing my fingers on that one.
Here's the thing with Hideo. This may become a bad list he's on. He may be injury prone, and once you labeled injury prone, that's not good.
Well, here's the thing, and this is not to sound mean at all, but there are the guys that have been on the indie circuit for years, guys and gals, been on the circuit for years, that they don't necessarily always take care of themselves the way that they should.
They don't.
You know, if they get hurt, they keep going. They don't get stopped unless it's to the point that they can't walk.
Because they have no guaranteed contract.
They have no guaranteed contract. So it's something of they have to work. So it's like in the case of Daniel Bryan. How many concussions did Daniel Bryan probably work through? And he said that.
He said it in his book.
That he worked through multiple concussions because he didn't have a choice. He needed the money. He needed to get paid. And he was a wrestler and that's what he did. So Bryan's not alone in that boat. I mean, you have all these indie darlings that they're now bringing in, that they're super talented. They're amazing. They're wonderful, but you don't know what you're getting with them physically. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So it's like in the case of someone like Hideo, you know, he hurt his shoulder in a freak accident, but it took him longer to recover because he had several setbacks, physical setbacks. Now his neck is hurt and you don't know how long it's going to take him to get better. And they've invested time and money because he's still down in NXT. He hasn't made it up to the main roster yet.
No.
And that's not where you want to be. I think the whole point of bringing him in was he was only supposed to be there like 6 months and then go up. And now that 6 months is going on 2 years. And he's honestly holding a spot in NXT that they can use on someone else. But they're not going to kick him out of it because of who he is. And none of this is his fault.
It's just freak accidents.
Yeah, it's just a freak thing, but like you said, once you get labeled injury prone, they're not as inclined to do much with you because it's like, as soon as they start to push you, you get hurt. Case in point, Wade Barrett. Wade Barrett, every time they try to push him, it seemed like he'd get hurt. And they just, after a while, they just didn't want to push him anymore.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't trust him. So they kept him in a certain spot, and eventually he left.
Pretty much, yeah. That's sort of what happened, and that sucks.
It sucks. So feel better, Hideo. We hope you get better, and we hope they don't lose faith in you and put you on the injury list, because that would suck. Because he's so amazingly talented. He's such a sassy little bastard. I love him so much. On the upside, I get him for, what, a couple more weeks on TV before they tape again?
No, they tape tonight, so no.
Tonight
was the TV taping.
Can't you just, like, run him out there and have him chase Austin Aries around with a stick or something?
No, I don't think that's possible, no. Sorry. Sorry to break the news for you. That's not possible.
But Shinsuke killed, like, 10 people last night.
I know. We'll talk about that at the end of the show, but no.
Alright. And finally, I feel a little measure of payback, but I'm still equally as upset about this. Becky Lynch! It was announced she was pulled from the match on Sunday due to an undisclosed medical issue. Nobody knows what's going on. Beyond, it is not a physical issue. So she doesn't have any broken bones or torn muscles or concussion or anything like that. But it's undisclosed what it actually is.
Hashtag blame Brent.
What the hell? I honestly asked if she was pregnant.
I honestly thought she could have been.
Yeah. It's like I actually asked that question because it's like an undisclosed medical issue.
But it could be an appendectomy of some sort?
Yeah, it could be she had surgery. It could be because she was in the hospital and she sent out a picture of her in the hospital. So we don't know what it is, but it's an undisclosed injury. She's expected to be back in about a month.
Yeah.
If not sooner. So there's that. But that ends our very long news segment. Thank you so much for sticking with us through it and all the shenanigans that go with us. So I say we take our first break of the evening. And when we come back, we are talking all things WWE, No Mercy, and get your earplugs because you're going to hear me squee. So you'll see in the rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
This far, you've always been hating on me. Y'all know who you are. Take a chance and try to come up. And this game be in the store. Now I own the keys to a brand new fancy car, baby.
No animals were harmed in the documentation of this invasion? Oh my Jesus. What? No.
He didn't tell me animals were involved. Why are animals involved?
The Great War is upon us.
This is how every zombie movie begins.
WTR Riffs presents Delete or Decay.
Like, seriously, if three juggalos rocked up to my house and eyed my kid, I would not resort to a Roman candle.
It's Skarsgård!
Dilapidated boat! Dilapidated boat!
He killed Joseph Park, you bastard!
Available now at wildtalkradio.com.
No animals were physically harmed. Emotionally, though, they're forever scarred.
They've been scarred for life.
The Rack Extra gives a little Bella in the form of total Bellas.
It's not about you.
Technically, it's all about me.
Join us each week as we review the latest happenings going on in the world of the Bellas.
My husband doesn't know what a quickie is.
Ew.
Listen to how sensitive he is. My husband can't have, like, 2 minutes to 5 minutes of sex because he needs to start out with making out,
yeah,
and touching.
Whatever,
and,
that's fine.
Like,
no, that's
all
fine.
The time. All the time. What? Which I love, but sometimes I'm like, no, a quickie, like, come on.
Why don't you just say, hey, dude, penis?
No, come on. I'll just be like, well, I can give, I guess for guys you call it a hand job.
Yeah, so what up?
No, I do. I have them do it all the time.
Yeah, so great. Sex. That's fantastic.
Check out the Rack Extra, Total Bellas Weekly at wildtalkradio.com and rackradioshow.com.
My mother is getting more than me.
It doesn't take them an hour to get up, I will tell you that.
People power!
Which one of these candidates would you vote for in the CB Radio party election?
When the chat room failed for me a few weeks ago, that broke my heart.
because I was unable to get that one-on-one feel that I give to each and every single one of you. And that's why I'm running, because you need somebody who'll be there for you.
The people don't know what's good for them. We'll tell you what's good for you guys. That's why you want to vote for me. You vote for me, and I'll do the thinking for you. You want me, I'll put a wall around everything. It'll be a green wall made of marijuana, all right? And then everybody can meet at the wall, and we'll smoke it. So go, remember, go green.
Vote for me, and I'll get us a huge fucking island and 4-day weekends. 30-hour work week, overtime, double time.
And what I can promise the people is I'm going to do the same goddamn thing that I do every time I call when I do, and that's to keep the entertainment going. So fuck all you guys.
The debate continues on Saturday nights, midnight-ish Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. You guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28, but I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got fired!
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Gail Kim, TNA Knockout, and you're listening to the Rack Radio Show.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, WildTalkRadio.com, or RackRadioShow.com, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We greatly appreciate it. You're tuning back in. Awesome. If you just tuned in, you missed our news segment and all the funness that went with that, because there was a lot. But now we're doing No Mercy.
Yeah, we are. We're doing No Mercy. And it kicked off with the pre-show, as always.
Just like you do.
I'm still trying to figure out what the whole point of Curt Hawkins is, because he came out, he stepped in the ring for the first time and got pyro like he won at the Royal Rumble. And yeah, that was pointless. He was supposed to have his first match at SmackDown Live. He got bumped, but I thought the whole Curt Hawkins thing is pointless.
He's there to be Curt Hawkins-like? I don't know. Don't ask me these questions.
I am asking you the questions. You're supposed to provide the analysis.
He's bringing his hawkiness to SmackDown? Because, you know, hashtag fear the hawk or respect the hawk? I don't know. Don't ask me these things!
And what's a more interesting game, the LA Dodgers just took a 2-1 lead over the Washington Nationals in the playoffs.
Wait, now we're switching to baseball?
Do I really want to see any more field goals, or okay, I'll do this last one. Chargers got a safety, it's 21-3.
Hey!
Like, I got tired of watching the football, and baseball was more important right now, since it's a playoff game.
Your team isn't even in it.
Yeah, but Carlos Ruiz is a former Philly, and he's playing right. He got the go-ahead we hit.
You should be talking about the Flyers, man!
They don't play till tomorrow. Like at 10:45 at night.
But the Flyers.
Coming soon, Fire and Ice with Tim Stein.
Ding!
Talking all things Calgary Flames hockey.
Yay.
This is where Shane McMahon announced that Becky Lynch could not compete tonight. Alexa was not happy with this and was told she would get a title shot on November 8th in Glasgow, Scotland on SmackDown, not so live.
Yeah. But in the meantime, Alexa does have a match.
And we'll get to that in a bit. We had the pre-show match, which was supposed to be Corbin and Swagger would not get moved to the main show. Instead, Hype Bros and American Alpha took on the Ascension and the Vaude Villains.
Where is Fabrice? Where the hell are they?
Tyler's looking for Fandango backstage somewhere. He lost his part.
I have no idea what's going on.
I have no idea what's going on, but I got points. American Alpha and Hype Bros won.
Yay. Points for you.
Points for me. Alright, let's get to the main show and the main event. WWE Championship, AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose, and John Cena, and it kicked off the show.
Gee! I wonder if there's anything else going on Sunday night. No idea. Could there have been a debate?
Maybe. Quite possibly. They had a great match.
This was absolutely fantastic. This was everything you would expect it to be and more.
Without question. There was an exchange of sleeper holds. They all did it. They all just went crazy. Cena showed off his power. This was a great match. All around, great match with a confusing spot. Ambrose had a submission locked in. Cena put on his STF, so Styles got double tapped. People thought, wait, did the referee call for a bell? No, the ring bell, the timekeeper rang the bell early. So the match continued, since, you know, you can't have a split decision like that. Match continued, Dirty D's, AJ pulled out the ref, Super AA, AJ came in with a chair, laid out Cena, pinned John Cena.
Hey!
I thought this was a great match.
I thought this was a fantastic match. It was a little sad it was the first match, because it was so good. They walked out there and they're like, yeah, okay, follow this. Screw you all.
Yeah, pretty much. They did the show in basically reverse order, it felt like. But yeah, this was a fun opener. They got a lot of time. It was good.
I'm loving Ambrose and Styles together. My only complaint about this match, and it's a natural thing because that's just how it all evolves, is that they made this all about John Cena and him beating Ric Flair. And that annoyed me because the original story was Styles and Ambrose. And it should have been Styles and Ambrose, but they threw Cena in there for whatever reason. I don't care. And it suddenly became Cena's story, where it all revolved around him. It was, you know, Styles and Ambrose talking crap to Cena, which was fantastic. But then when it came for them to sell the match, it was all about John Cena. It was all about him getting his, you know, bajillionth title win. And it was less about Dean Ambrose trying to regain his title. It was less about AJ Styles trying to overcome two men. And I had a problem with that. And that's just the way it was written. It's not anybody, it's not any of the wrestlers, it's not the announcers. It's just the way that the script was written, where it was, well, it's going to revolve around John Cena. And I had an issue with that. Because I feel like that's just slightly insulting to Styles and Ambrose.
Yeah, I agree. So we had AJ Styles, 8-Ball had AJ Styles. The final time, WWE 2K16 had John Cena. Up next, Carmella versus Nikki Bella.
This is alright.
Yeah, it was a solid match.
This is not a shot at Nikki Bella, but I think Carmella just needs somebody a little bit more experienced. Because there was something off about this, to me. There was just something, some element missing.
One, Carmella still needs some work. She still needed another year to learn more things on how to work a match down NXT. She needed one more year. So now she's getting the training on the main roster. She's learning how to become a heel, which is great. She's doing a good job of that. But in terms of her in-ring ability, she still needed another year to grow. And even go, even worked on down in NXT as a heel to work that style. She was working as a babyface, so now she's changing in her style. So she's changing her style on the main roster. It's nothing against Nikki, but Nikki's also worked as a heel for a long time. Now she's starting to work as a babyface. So
yeah.
You've now flipped positions, and you're trying to work a style. Like, their interactions have been great, because it's easy to do babyface heel interactions. But working the match, you had to flip the styles. I thought this match was fine. There really wasn't a lot wrong with it. I wish Nikki would stop throwing herself into barricades and LED boards. But that's just me. She hit the Rack Attack 2.0 for the win.
Yeah, and it's like, and also I think Nikki's still trying to find her footing a little bit after being off from so long, because she's had to adjust her style for her neck. And I don't think she had enough time to sort of get retrained, basically, to deal with her neck. Because she can't bump the same, she can't wrestle the same. It's different once you get, because she had the fusion surgery, right?
No, she had bone spur, something removed.
Okay, so her neck's got to adjust. She's got to learn how to wrestle so that way she doesn't re-aggravate that and cause that problem again. And I think that's what she's trying to do. So you have two people who are trying to figure it out. You're trying to figure it out at the same time. And it was like, it was a good match. It was a solid match. It just wasn't, it wasn't the barn burner that you kind of would have hoped it could have been.
They want to take the handcuffs off the next time they fight. They want to do no DQ. They've been building towards it. So this one had handcuffs. So they're hoping to get the handcuffs removed.
Do it. Do the thing.
In terms of pick, Bella, 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 Bella. So there you go.
Go Team Fluffy.
Miz was backstage with Daniel Bryan. Man says, Bryan is responsible for what happens tonight. He then made a Rocky IV reference and compares it to Bryan continuing to fail. Says Ziggler and Bryan will both be retired tonight. And when Miz wins, he wants to redo his contract. Because reasons.
Can you know...
What?
I just completely forgot what I was going to say.
Can you what?
What were we talking about?
Miz.
Oh, can you send him to Raw when he gets Cesaro? Can that be a thing?
No, I want him on... Leave him on SmackDown.
Why?
Because Miz is awesome on SmackDown.
He is awesome on SmackDown, but it's Cesaro. Cesaro, then it...
You can take... They can take Swagger back for Cesaro.
I don't know. No.
Why? You don't want Swagger? You want Swagger?
I'm kind of curious about Swagger, honestly.
You're the only one.
I know, but still.
Like, you're legit the only one on that one. I can't be bothered with Swagger. That's just me. They give me no reason to care about Swagger. That's all. Oh, since I switched sports. The baseball sounder. 4-1 Dodgers over the Nationals at the moment.
We have a baseball sounder?
I went to the baseball tonight theme. You know,
we have a baseball sounder.
We have a baseball sounder, yeah. Okay? We're professional like that.
Apparently. Anyway, continue.
Tag titles were on the line. Heath Slater and Rhino versus the Usos. I was totally surprised that the Usos won. Slater's tron has kids on it now. Silhouettes of kids. I thought that's cool.
That's awesome.
Match was so-so, but I like that.
Again, you have guys who've worked face for so long, they're now trying to figure out how to work heel. You have Rhino and Slater, who are still trying to kind of feel each other out.
They're a comedy tag team.
They're a comedy tag team. So it's, yeah, it's like, this was good. This was relatively quick. Slater Strawn has kids.
Yeah. Slater over Rhino retained. I was surprised. That's about it.
Yeah, that was really shocking, actually.
But if we listened to the 8-Ball in 2K16, we wouldn't have been surprised. Just pointing that one out. We had a creepy video of Bray Wyatt speaking Latin and singing, "He's got the whole world in his hands."
He needed like 1,000 hugs on Sunday night. Bray's lost his shit. That's just it. Bray's lost it, officially. I don't think he ever really had it, but what little he had, he's lost. It's gone.
Baron Corbin took on Jack Swagger. Eh, it was there.
It was an okay match. I think if you took the handcuffs off them, too, it could be better. Like, I kind of just want to see them beat the crap out of each other.
Rake to the eyes, end of days, Baron Corbin wins, which means we get to see it again next week on SmackDown.
Yay.
We had Corbin. Everyone had Corbin in the foursome. Up next.
Because we know.
Up next, career versus title, The Miz versus Dolph Ziggler. This was great.
This was good.
It started out really slow, but it built. Because you were waiting for the distractions, the interferences, and you got all that. You know, trying to take apart the turnbuckle, you know, exposing the turnbuckle, Maurice with distractions. You had Dolph Ziggler pulling out Zack Ryder moveset because he loves Zack Ryder. And since this is his final match, he's like, hey, I'm going to do a Rough Rider, because why not? Miz did the Bryan kicks. There was a multiple times where The Miz had a fascination with sticking his head into the crotch area of Dolph Ziggler and springing him off the top rope repeatedly a few times.
Yeah, they did it like 3 or 4 times. They kept doing it. They kept going to that spot. It's like, can we get another one, please?
He wanted all up in his stuffs.
He wanted to see Ziggler's wiggle, apparently.
And you talked to me about the spirit stick. Anyway.
What?
Nothing.
What? I mean, if you want to play with the spirit stick and you want to bring their spirit stick up, you go right on ahead. Just don't drop it, because we'll get 30 years of bad luck. And then we won't be repeat cheer champions. Do you not want to be a repeat cheer champion?
Are we not going to go to Nationals?
We are not going to go to Nationals.
Hashtag bring it on.
Bring it on.
Yeah. Anyway, we had the spray. We had false finishes. Skull Crusher finale, foot on the rope. Super kick by Ziggler after Miz took off his boot. The Spirit Squad came out. Super kick the Mikey. Skull Crushing finale, 2 count. And eventually he would hit a super kick. And Ziggler won the match as the new Intercontinental Champion.
Great finish. Great match. Fantastic sell by Miz after it was over. He laid in the ring and he cried.
And we're going to talk more about that in our next segment.
Yeah. We'll get to what happened on SmackDown. But yeah, just this was a fantastic sell by Miz. Where he lay there and cried that he had lost. But yeah, they did a wonderful job. They got plenty of time. They weren't rushed. They really culminated this very well.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Without question. So, I had the Miz, you had Ziggler, Miz and April had Miz, and so did 2K16.
Ha ha! Screw you all.
I wanted to believe in the Miz. I really did. Orton's face was distorted in a mirror.
They did the Taker trick.
They did.
I was actually... like, when they did this, because it was the Orton doing the mirror thing, because they always do this with Orton, and all you kept, like, waiting for Taker to show up. I honestly kept waiting for, like, this almost ring-type girl to show up behind Orton in a sheet mask.
Yeah.
Like, or something. But you just had, they did a video effect where the mirror twisted instead, but it's like, oh, the chick would have been freaky.
Would have been cool. Alexa Bliss took on her new opponent, Naomi.
This was good.
It was okay. A little sloppy.
But dude, Alexa was just like, I'm going to rip your face off. Mm-hmm. She's like, grr, arg, mad. That is 5 feet of fury right there.
Yeah, it was. And Naomi won, which was a surprise.
It was a surprise. It's a happy surprise. It's a great surprise. But it's like, wow, okay, you had Alexa lose on pay-per-view. Okay. Which was obviously the original finish.
Yeah.
You have Alexa lose, but...
once Peggy was pulled off, you would figure she would go over since she's getting the title shot.
Yeah, but apparently not. And, well, Alexa gets to face Naomi again this week on SmackDown.
Yep. Then it's the main event, Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton.
I should note that it was the Alexa match where they were like, oh God, Bray and Randy are the main event. Oh God, what is going to happen in that match?
Mm-hmm.
Bray and Randy are the main event.
I enjoyed this matchup. I thought this was good. I thought they worked well together. They teased them announce table stuff. Bray did a senton miss on the steps, which looked like it hurt.
Oh my God, Bray's ass had to hurt after this match. He hit that senton like 3 or 4 times, and he missed it at least twice.
He did, and it kind of looked like it sucked.
And once on the steps, I mean, it's like, oh, it's not good for your tailbone.
No, that's not good for anyone's tailbone. So, Bray got dropped on a barricade, comes to the ring, Hangman DDT, then Randy Orton is pounding away on the ring mat, and then...
Well, before we get there, or not...
I had the thing... What?
I know.
What?
Continue.
No, say your point, say your point.
I was just going to go over the match before we went to the other thing, but... Get your earplugs ready.
Well, the match is not over. What part of the match did you want to talk about?
I wanted to talk about the first part of the match before the sounder.
Okay, go ahead.
I really, really liked this match. I really enjoy this match for all the obvious reasons and some of the not obvious reasons that we haven't gotten to yet. But I think they have wonderful chemistry together. I think they've had it. It's just, it's been a really slow moving feud because I don't think Bray and Randy have really been feeling it. Tonight, or Sunday night, they were feeling it. It was very physical. They were both going after each other. They work very well together, but they've been working each other on house shows. So there isn't any of that awkward feeling each other out. They just know each other and they go for it. This is the most I've seen Randy go for it in a match in a long time.
Well, it's been a long time since he's actually had a match.
True. Very true. But yeah, Now you can do your sounder.
Oh, okay. Now I can do the sounder. Okay, so he's calling for the RKO. And then who should appear? Luke Harper.
I screamed so goddamn loud.
Tongue out. Tongue a wagon. Distraction. Sister Abigail. Bray Wyatt wins.
First of all, points!
Then, second of all...
Luke! This made me so happy. This made me beyond happy. I was just ecstatic because all the rumors, all everything, Luke Harper is on SmackDown, he's with Bray Wyatt, and if you don't believe that they weren't happy to see each other, just look at the hug that they give each other. That was genuine love between two very large beardy men right there in the middle of the ring. It was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. Like, Luke would not let go of Bray for 5 minutes. Like, he just kept his hand on Bray's head. Just, he's like, I got my Wyatt. I'm good. And Bray's like, I have my Harper. All is right with the world. It was a beautiful, beautiful moment. And then they murdered Randy Orton together. Because that's what a father and son do.
Yeah, and she's not lying. She screamed as loud as humanly possible.
He's deaf.
I'm going to send you the bill.
Yeah, I'm sure. But yeah, this, you know, it's like, you can't, and I think Luke Harper was originally going to Raw.
He was. And Eric
and
got hurt.
Eric got hurt. They can't have Bray on his own. I think this is going to be much better for everybody involved, because now they can focus on the Bray-Luke dynamic, which I've kind of been hoping that they're going to do. And then the brand split happened, because I really love that relationship, and I'd love to get, like, backstory on that relationship and how that, how they came together, how they came to be, because we know how it actually happened in real life, but it's like in terms of storyline, how Bray Wyatt found Luke Harper or vice versa, because there really is a brotherhood and a friendship and a love between those two that doesn't exist between anybody else in that family.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, there's Eric and there's Braun and then there's Luke. And I think Bray's been floundering. I think he's been lost since Luke Harper went out. So now that he's back, he's got his general back. Once he gets Rowan back, he'll have his family together, he'll have an army, and he'll be able to take over SmackDown. But till then, Bray and Luke are just going to mess everybody up, which we'll get to in our next segment. But overall, very good showing for SmackDown.
Again, the best things about the SmackDown shows, the end at 2:40 when Raw's main events start at 2:40.
Yes.
2 hours and 40 minutes, I should make that clear.
None of the matches were rushed.
No.
And none of the matches were rushed. They all had good timing. The show moved well. They ended early. It's like they booked this out so they could end early, which was really nice. Because, you know, there are people that have to get up and go to work on Monday morning. And when you're sitting up till, you know, 11:30, 11:45 at night, watching a pay-per-view on a Sunday, it's like it really sucks. Because I've tried not to fall asleep during the Raw pay-per-views, but that has happened. At least once. So it's nice that they end SmackDown early. And also just the way that they handled the talent, I think is a little different on SmackDown. Even though it's all the same people behind the scenes running it, it's just the way that they book it, the way that it feels. I like the feeling of SmackDown better. And because Luke Harper.
So I bet on Dolph Ziggler. I mean, I bet on The Miz and I lost. You went 5-1, I went 4-2, 8-Ball went 4-2, WWE 2K16 went 3-3.
I beat the 8-Ball!
And the video game. So the video game for its last time went 3-3 since we've now moved to WWE 2K17. Go right now to twitch.tv/RackRadioShow and follow, subscribe, whatever the thing is, so you know when that thing goes live. And subscribe youtube.com/RackRadioShow for all the WWE 2K17 videos that are available going forward, including the version 1 of the Rack Arena and a special Becky Lynch vs. Sasha Banks vs. Charlotte match from WrestleMania 32.
Hey!
All available at youtube.com/RackRadioShow right now. I should mention Michael Peterson and Chris Pierce were the fan winners of bragging rights for the month, going 5-1 apiece, since we did not get the sheet until 7:50 this evening, because the intern is a slacker.
But bravo. Well done. So, we're not going to take a second break of the evening. We're just going to go right into it. So, with all awkward transition and whatnot, let's do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more, it cannot wait, I'm sure.
Oh, before we do that, it's now 4-3.
Well, play the other sounder too.
Okay.
And with 3:31 left in the fourth quarter, San Diego is up 21-10.
Hey, Denver got a touchdown.
Denver got a touchdown, and then they waffled the ball, and San Diego got it back. So there's that. There are your score updates. So tweet of the week: Joe Gagne tweets, Eddie Edwards' claw markings look absurd. If he's a wolf, shouldn't he be clawing people? Rovere replies, they are from Teenage Creditors.
Damn.
Ice. Burn. What?
What?
Johnny Gargano. Did anyone else have their mom make them Rocky Maivia's brown with blue tassel shoulder interest vets thing? Just me? Okay, cool. Johnny Gargano. My childhood is colliding! And he puts a picture of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles WWE action figures.
They're awesome.
They're amazing. I rated Johnny Gargano's Twitter, so the next couple are him, unless I say otherwise. Me, after watching the new Power Rangers movie trailer, and it's a picture of the Green Ranger, or a GIF, I should say, of the Green Ranger and the Red Ranger, shrugging. I'm with you, Johnny! I'm with you. What the hell? We're not gonna get into it now, but honestly, what the hell?
Way too serious.
Tommaso Ciampa. Johnny! Look at all this floor space! So many activities! And it's a picture of him doing a split in the air in the middle of the family room of their new house. Because Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa moved in together. And it's beautiful. There's also a picture of them as stepbrothers, and it's hilarious.
There's also a picture of them for day one where they're sitting in front of a TV watching Girl Meets World.
It's amazing. William Regal. I'm the best-dressed GM in the WWE. The other two could spend $1 million on clothes and still look like they are homeless, scruffy tramps.
Mick Foley.
Just saying. Kevin Owens, go back to Canada, morons.
Hey.
Trombone Francesca. That's what you get, Sheamus. Don't you ever grab me like that again. I feel bad for Cesaro to have such a partner. Sheamus replies, grab? I was trying to save you. Every time that slimy guy puts his lips on you, it drives me crazy. Frappuccino? Xavier Woods, with a picture of him in Target with fuzzy pink vests and pants. Hey, I'm gorgeous. Tyler Breeze, whatever.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous. Hey, Tyler Breeze, I was unaware you got your gear from the youth women's department at Target. To which Tyler Breeze replies, I was unaware you shopped in the clearance sections at Target. Hashtag jerk. Hashtag spend all your money on video games.
They're upset they're on different brands.
They are so upset they're on different brands. Why did you break them up?
They're legit best friends.
They are.
Yeah.
They are. This is so sad. Tommaso Ciampa. Hashtag finding DIY. And it's a picture of him and Johnny Gargano in, I think it's Michaels, where they're holding up wooden letters of DIY with an arrow, and they're both wearing Finding Dory hats.
As you do.
They are the best tag team. I love them so much. Rusev. The Black Swan Charlotte acted very weak. Tapped out. Rusev never taps out. I'm getting immune to that sphere. Believe that, Rome. Rusev. Ha, Ellsworth
hold
had
on,
more
hold on. Believe that, Rome.
Rome. That's what he said. R-O-M.
You said Rom.
I can say Rome or Rom.
Okay.
Oh. It has multiple pronunciation. Oh. Ah.
Okay.
Om.
Anyway, continue on.
Rusev. Ha, Ellsworth had more WWE World Heavyweight title chances than me. Hashtag SmackDown Live. Prince Pretty. Tyler Breeze. WWE 2K17 made me a 70? A 70! And they replied, your gorgeousness rating is 100. Tony Nese, for the first time ever, I will be taking on Tyler Breeze in fantasy hockey. And Tyler Breeze goes, correction, for the first time you will be losing to me in fantasy hockey. Sorry, I have a lot of tweets. I should probably have told you that. I kind of rated a bunch of Twitters while we were doing No Mercy.
Okay. You have a cap of 50.
No, I don't have a cap. You have a cap. I'm the host. I don't get a cap.
Just the producer gets a cap.
Just a producer. No, because if you didn't have a cap, we would be here for 2 hours.
Hey, I have like 10. Keep going.
Rusev replies to...
And you stole one of mine. Anyhow, keep going.
Well, you can go get another one while you wait.
No, I'm good.
Rusev replies to Tyler Breeze saying he made a 70. Preposterous former FCW champ. Goldust tweets, Tyler Breeze, and he goes, poor Prince Uggo. Tyler Breeze complaining about his superstar ranking. Suck it up, Buttercup. And Tyler goes, tweet at your own side, you raw scum. Then Tyler Breeze replies to Rusev, where he says, preposterous, former FCW champ. He goes, see? And finally, Heel Dean tweets Tyler Breeze, and he goes, does it frustrate you that Alicia Fox has a higher overall ranking than you? What happened to the next Ziggler, man? And he goes, yes, and Dolph Ziggler held me down.
You good?
I'm good.
WWE creative issue. If John Cena ties Ric Flair, Nature Boy tonight, does that mean he gets to sleep with Halle Berry? Fake ESPN. Charlie Whitehurst versus Tom Brady is a bigger mismatch than Antonio Cromartie versus condoms. Tony Romo's only chance of starting is taking a baseball bat to Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott's knees. Richard Triumfo. Kurt Hawkins is now lower on the reaction scale than the Usos, Carmella, the Colognes, and Aaron Rex. Wait, Kane Nolan. Wait, did a fly just land on Hillary's face? Is this all just a promo for the Westworld?
It is.
Danny Cannell, what channel is this the debate on? I can only find Springer reruns everywhere I look. Darren Ravel, remind me again, is this for President of America or for President of my high school? Keep it 5-star. Seth Rollins and Raw, her plans become obsolete. I'll fade away and classify myself as obsolete. Keep it 5-star. Dean Ambrose is acting like the special guest referee in a wrestling video game. W creative is through hell, fire, and brimstone, it's indifferent Kane. WWE creative ish. Turns out Luke Harper was just Kane all along. Larry, Dragonfly Jones. We'll go with that one. No effing way. Giants blew a 3-run lead in the game. Draymond threw out its ceremonial pitch. You're all effing with me. Gotta be. Cause the Golden State Warriors blew a 3-0 lead, game lead in the playoffs. Anyway. WWE creative ish. WWE 2K17 is the most realistic game ever, aside from the fact that the crowd cheers for Roman Reigns. Hashtag merch. That was Tweet of the Week. See, I don't have that many.
I missed one.
Oh, okay.
Tyler Breeze also ranted about how Scott Dawson is more than him. He's a 77. And that's when 2K replied, but your gorgeous rating is 100. You made him a 7. A 70, y'all. A 70.
My friend's gonna be really mad at that. He really likes Tyler Breeze.
I really like Tyler Breeze!
No, I meant he liked playing him in the video game. That's what I meant.
He's...
A 70, anyway.
He's a perfect 10 in our hearts. How about that? So, anyway, no break?
No. What's next?
We're just going straight through. We're gonna bulldoze straight through. So, we have the SmackDown Throwdown.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
this week's SmackDown Throwdown.
Yes! 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 Yes!
So in this week's SmackDown Throwdown, SmackDown has issued challenges to Monday Night Raw for the Survivor Series, which take your five best guys to against our five best guys. Not only that, I believe it's their five best tag teams against their five best tag teams. And your five best women against our best five women.
Okay, can we talk about how amazing it is that they're going to have a women's Survivor Series match? Can we just discuss how awesome this is?
Well, they have them every year.
But this time it's serious.
Oh, it's serious business this time, yeah. It's not a throwaway match.
And it's serious. It's basically your women's champions and your entire division's taking each other on to figure out who's better.
Yeah. See, I like this concept for SmackDown, for Survivor Series. It's a Survivor Series. It's what it should be. I don't want a bunch of singles matches. I want Survivor Series like it should be. That's just
me. Agreed.
That's just me. Best moment of SmackDown, The Miz mourns his loss of the IC title. Him and Maurice came out in black, all black, and they mourned the belt. They were crying. He was crying, basically. I thought Miz was great, even in losing his title.
Oh, it was hilarious. It was 100% hilarious. I mean, bless. Well done.
Dolph would face the Spirit Squad and beat the Spirit Squad. But yeah, I thought The Miz was outstanding in the segment.
Why is the Spirit Squad a thing in 2016?
Because Kurt Hawkins is.
When did this happen?
July, when they made a draft.
Okay, we need to discuss this. Like, I can forgive Kurt Hawkins because we got Luke Harper. But honestly, the Spirit Squad, Shane, Brian, we need to have a conversation.
I'd take them over the Headbangers, no?
Not by much.
Not by much. But I have a feeling the Spirit Squad is going back down to OVW really soon.
I fucking hope so.
James Ellsworth returned to SmackDown. He beat AJ Styles with Dean Ambrose as the referee, who ended up taking selfies with a fan, eating popcorn, taking a phone call, mid-count.
It's hilarious.
Dean was amazing as a referee. He was an awful referee, but he was amazing at being a referee.
He sold it. He absolutely sold it. He just has that natural it thing to him that it just works.
It does work.
I mean, he was pissing Styles off. He was helping Ellsworth. There's this moment where he decides that he's going to help Ellsworth win, where he does the dirty deeds on Styles, and he throws Ellsworth on top, and then he jumps to do the count.
Yeah.
It was the cutest thing I think I've ever seen him do. It was adorable. But yeah, Dean is the special guest referee. Hilarious. James Ellsworth, the number one contender for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. What?
It's
or the SmackDown World Heavyweight Champion, whatever it's called.
It's a WWE Championship.
It's like, what? Because he beat him. And then we're all sitting here like, wait.
Does he get a title shot?
Does he get a title shot? Because he just beat the champion. Even though he had Dean Ambrose's help, he just beat the champion.
And because Daniel Bryan likes him, he gets a title shot next week on SmackDown Live.
The WWE Universe likes him. Like, the WWE Universe is unfathomably in love with James Ellsworth.
Oh, I know.
It's just, it's hilarious.
Oh, I know.
And he's loving it, you can tell.
And finally, for the SmackDown Throwdown, hashtag, where's Kane?
Where the hell is Kane? What, where did he go?
Explain to everyone what happened.
Okay. I have to send you a picture in a minute. But okay, so Kane and Randy Orton do a tag team match against Bray and Luke as the main event of SmackDown. They advertise it on Raw. Yay. Go Wyatts. So there's a point in the match where Bray and Luke kind of have, like, the upper hand. Randy, I think, was on the outside. Randy was in the ring going for the tag. And Bray and Luke were somewhere. I forget exactly where everybody was, but anyway.
Bray was getting his hot tag. Randy Orton was running wild, and then Bray took advantage, and both men were down or something like that. And then Orton was looking for a tag.
Yeah, Orton was looking for a tag from Kane. We see the Wyatt flash. Like that. Lights come back. Kane's just gone. And in his place is Luke Harper.
Did he eat him?
Where is Kane? Mauro Ranallo was like screaming that as SmackDown was going off the air. He's like, where's Kane? Everybody else is like, did they just take him again? Like for a third time? Did the Wyatts kidnap Kane? Was that a thing? I mean, I don't know what's going on, but Kane is missing. We have no idea. He's still gone.
He is somewhere. He's gone. Maybe he'll turn up next week on SmackDown Live.
Side note, Bray Wyatt, Braun Strowman went to Halloween Horror Nights together. They look so happy. I just don't even know what to do anymore. I just can't.
Side note, Wyatt Family on Talking Smack was great.
Okay, yeah. If you have not seen Talking Smack, you need to go watch it. Because Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper showed up. They kicked Renee Young off her own show.
He was like, go.
Yeah, he's like, leave. And she just boot scooted it on out of there because, you know, she's a smart little cookie like that. And they proceeded to talk smack, where basically the message was, be afraid, be very afraid, we are going to mess everybody and their brother up. Because Luke Harper's back, Bray Wyatt has him back, and now they mean business. They're done. Like, Luke was so pissed that they glazed over his re-debut. Or his return, to talk about Brian's baby. He's like, we don't care about that crap. We want to be talked about. We want to be discussed. And if you're not going to talk about us, we will make you. People are going to die.
And it'll be awesome to see.
It will be amazing to see. But this made me so happy. Like, Bray's done. Luke's done. They're tired of this. They are tired of being disrespected. The Wyatt family wants their due. And Luke's like, this incarnation of the family, y'all need to just get the hell out of our way.
And with that, it's time for the NXT Rundown.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
This week on the NXT Rundown, the Glorious 10 are no more. Even though Ty Dillinger decided to shake his ass on NXT television for Bobby Roode.
Which was glorious.
Bobby Roode wanted no part of their opponents, which was Sanity. Sanity beat the Glorious 10 to get rid of them in the NXT Dusty Classic, because Bobby just left his partner hanging. I want to give Sanity some time, but they just look like a bunch of dudes. And girl. It reminded me of the Aces and Eights.
I mean, yeah, I'm going to give Sanity a chance. But to me, it's like just on general first impression, I'm not feeling it. I'm not digging it.
I wasn't blown away.
Yeah, it was like...
Like, after all that, it was a letdown.
I kind of wish they had saved the reveal of the chick, and they had saved the reveal of Eric Young for later. Like, yeah. You build up to Eric Young. You don't know who's leading Sanity. It's just, it's this mysterious masked figure.
Yeah.
And you build up to those reveals, but they kind of gave it all away up front. Like, oh, you know, here's, you know, because initially it was just the tag team. And you saw who the tag team was, and they revealed the chick. And then it's like you had Eric Young take his mask off. It was like, but you could build to that. Like, who's leading Sanity? Because the announcers were asking that, you know, who are these people? Who's leading Sanity? What is this? What is it? All these questions that, you know, you could have fans speculate and kind of get into and really dig their heels in. It's kind of like, you know, when the Shield debuted, who are the Shield? Where did these guys come from? Who do they work for? Those kinds of questions that make you invest in the characters. It's like all those questions were being asked by the announcers to get the fans to kind of engage, and then it's like, it just, oh, hey, look, it's Eric Young. So I'm willing to give it a chance, but I'm not feeling it. And this isn't the group's fault. This is just the way that this got booked out.
Yeah.
Where they booked this out way too quick.
TM61 events as well, the situation between Billy Kay and Liv Morgan, Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, and Liv Morgan continued when Billy Kay beat Liv Morgan. I want to save the ending of NXT for a moment, but I want to drop a couple of news items announced via the social medias today from NXT. Roderick Strong has officially debuted with the promotion. He'll be debuting in the upcoming weeks on NXT television to be the partner of Austin Aries in the Dusty Rhodes Classic. It's one. They have announced it. This is a spoiler, but it's been announced at NXT TakeOver Toronto for the NXT Women's Championship. It is Asuka versus Mickie James.
This is going to be amazing. This is going to be amazing. I feel really bad though for the girls in NXT because they're trying so hard to rebuild that division and they just took so much out of it when they did the draft. So they're trying desperately to rebuild the division and nobody's ready for Asuka. That's legit. Nobody's ready for Asuka.
And it was too soon to do Ember Moon versus Asuka. So this was a smart booking, bringing someone in from the outside.
Yeah, I would hold Ember Moon for Mania. Mm-hmm. I really would.
Earliest is the Rumble weekend, if not WrestleMania weekend.
I would do Ember Moon versus Asuka for TakeOver at Mania.
Yeah.
I honestly would.
You can get away with it.
And you just steadily build up, because when Asuka and Ember Moon go, holy crap.
Yeah. As mentioned, Hideo Itami is out of the Dusty Rhodes Classic. TJ Perkins will be replacing him.
Poor Hideo. Feel better soon. Also, before I forget this, again, the High Lindsay sign from New York is at NXT. It was at the set of tapings. So to the person with the High Lindsay sign, because I meant to say it last week and I forgot, and before I forget and miss it again next week, hi! I have no idea if it's for me or not, but if you take a High Lindsay sign to the show, I will say hi to you. So hi! And I see it. I have to see it. But if you want a shout out and you're going to a show, you could take our logo, and you could put our logo up on TV, and we will definitely say hi.
So Samoa Joe was in the ring after the Blake and Murphy situation, and he wanted Shinsuke Nakamura. And what did he get? He got Shinsuke Nakamura. Came out with his neck brace on, all disheveled.
He was pissed.
But then he took his neck brace off, and then went crazy. Like, I watched this today. But the commentary Lindsay gave of it last night was amazing. Like, he was destroying security guard after security guard after security guard after security guard.
He took out 10 people. Single-handedly took out 10 people. That's not an exaggeration.
No.
That really happened.
No, it was. That actually did happen.
Like, 10 security guards. Pretty much the rest of the, like, NXT men's roster that's still in training, they were all out there as security guards because I saw Mata. And it's like, oh, hey, there's Mata. And he's dead. Because Shinsuke was just taking people out left, right, and center. Like, he wanted to get to Joe. He was pissed.
I thought that segment was awesome. I thought Joe was great. I thought Shinsuke was amazing. And it's leading to NXT TakeOver Toronto. The match is official. They will meet 1-on-1 for the NXT title. I thought NXT was alright.
The ending of the show was really, really, really good, but the overall show was just okay. But the ending, they were building obviously to the end, which was Joe and Nakamura. But I think we're done. What do you think?
The violin is playing us out, yes.
The violin is playing us out. Shinsuke Nakamura's personal violin is playing us out. So, you have a ton of plugs. That's going to take you the next 20 minutes, so please go ahead.
Saturday Night Midnight Edition, CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. It is a CB Radio Party election. We're doing the political campaign ads this week on the show, so tune in Saturday Night Midnight Edition for CB Radio. Hashtag blame Rob when a celebrity dies. Go back and listen to last week's weirdest episode ever. Just throwing that out there.
Vote Rob!
Vote Rob. Anyway, CB Radio Live, Facebook, Twitter.com. Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Heartbreak Mike, and the Omega live at 10 p.m. Eastern. Russell Talk Radio to vote in the all-time greatest. Monday night is the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything goes down on Monday Night Raw. Now, here's where there's a lot of new things. Go to twitch.tv/rackradioshow. Follow the channel. You'll know when I go live, when I do my WWE 2K17 stuff. So if you want to see it all live before it hits youtube.com/rackradioshow, that's where you go to see it. We may do live streams randomly, because why the hell not? It's fun. It's wrestling. It's WWE 2K17. A lot of content. The journey of Sorokin will be available at some point whenever I create the wrestler and start the career mode. It's all coming to youtube.com/rackradioshow. Follow us on Twitter at WildTalk, at Rack Radio Show on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com as Wild Talk Radio Network. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Wild Talk Radio Network, and Rack Radio Show, because do the thing, people. Oh, we're on Instagram, Instagram.com/Rack Radio Show, because at some point I'm going to forget about it like I did this week. So there you go.
We're everywhere. We are absolutely everywhere. We are taking over the world one social media platform at a time. So you can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, L-A-N-S. M-W-A-R-D. I can spell, I swear to God. It's late, I need to go to bed. You can also go to my website, psychworddesigns.com, if you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork. It is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Linsward, same as the Twitters, or I should say L-I-N-S-W-R-D. I swear to God, I can spell.
You screwed up. You did screw up your own Twitter.
I did screw up my own Twitter. I'm not even drunk.
And that's your autopilot go-to. It's L-I-N-S-W-A-R-D. Follow me on...
My autopilot is not working tonight. It's disengaged. I need to go to bed because it's late for me. So, you also want to check out our very fine sponsors. Gerwick.net, TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans, and Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey at Instagram.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week.
Bye. WildTalkRadio.com.